Welcome, everybody. And certainly every year, something we do every year is always have guests from the Pomo Project coming, because it is now the October is the annual honouring month for the Pomo Project in Sonoma County here. And so we have Rose Hammock in the studio, and we'll be chatting with her. Hi, Rose.
Hello.
Good. And Christine Koba is here.
Hi.
Hi, Christine.
Hi. Great to be here.
Indeed. And it is a special one. It is the 10th annual one. That's quite something to make something really last.
Absolutely. I mean, this started out as a small grassroots community organization, and we didn't know where it would go at the time. It started in fall of 2009, and started by two people in Sebastopol. Sandy Eastoak, who many folks know. She's a writer, painter, poet, activist, environmentalist, and Armando Wilson, who is a young Poma man. And he came into the gallery where Sandy was showing some of her work. They got to talking, and the Poma Project was born. I got a call, I think, the next day, and I said, yes, I'd love to be a part of it. And so we've been working towards this for, again, the last 10 years. And in the beginning, again, I had no idea how long it would last. It was my goal at first. If we could make it 5 years, that would be really special. And then as time went on, I thought, no, we can do 10 years. So this year is especially meaningful to me because we've made this 10-year annual month and full of wonderful events that are free to the public.
Thank you, Christine. Yeah, that's quite something. And certainly Rose has been involved with it for quite some time as well. When you were quite young, one might say.
Yep, as a youth.
What brought you into the project, Rose?
Well, I've known Christine since I was about 11 or 12 when I first started dancing with Joe Salinas's dance group. And I started off pretty shy and didn't talk very much and always had respect and understanding of my culture. And then Christine came in with Sandy, and they were working with us as youth on artwork. So some of us that would dance, we got to do artwork with Christine and Sandy. And a couple times we got to go out and take photos. And that's a lot of Christine's work, is the photographs of us when we dance. So we got to see both ends of how that is, and got to have a relationship with Sandy. And then as I got older and I graduated high school, I wanted to help out. And so I do a lot of the social media part. I do a lot of the event organizing. But as a collective, all of our hard work has gone into this project and being a part of it for over a year.
You? I think 3 years now.
Yeah, at least 3 years.
Going on three years.
And I feel like the last year I've taken on more responsibility, just emailing people more and just trying to get Pomo Project out there to people. I was able to talk to a couple of people from the community, and places like Windsor and Santa Rosa are now starting to recognize Monday, which is October 14th, as Indigenous Peoples Day. People all across California and other states celebrate that as Indigenous Peoples Day to replace Columbus Day.
Right.
And a part of that, at least on Monday, locally here in Santa Rosa, there's going to be a celebration at the Santa Rosa Junior College. It's a Indigenous Peoples Day celebration. And again, just another event where people can come and experience our culture from this area, view people who are selling jewelry, talk to the elders that are there, talk to some of the dancers that might be there, and just have a safe place and open place for us to share about our culture with everybody.
Right. Well, and that's it. And obviously educating people that there is a Native Indian culture in the area is, is it an uphill struggle? Are people willing to listen?
I think a lot of the times people just aren't aware of maybe the tribes specifically that are around this area, but California is one of the states that has the most tribes. We probably have close to, I would at least think, 160 different tribes all throughout California. And Northern California, specifically in this area, Sonoma Lake and Mendocino County, is a lot of our Pomo people. And Pomo people, there's, if you want to say, 23 more distinct tribes of those people.
Even within the one Pomo heading.
And we all have our own dialects of Pomo that we speak, depending on the area we're from. A lot of the traditional clothes that we call regalia, that differs from the areas that we're from, too, because we had to make our clothes depending on our environment that we were from. When this Sunday, when we dance out at the Sebastopol's Farmers Market, which we do every year, is a really good opportunity where a lot of non-native people come just to watch us dance and share our songs and share our medicine. And as a young person, that always made me feel important, because it was people seeing us in our regular clothes and then seeing us dance and go back to our regular clothes, because we're just like anybody else. We're people, but we just are able to have that connection with the culture, and we have the space that we're able to share it.
Right, indeed. Yeah, you don't just appear out of nowhere.
Yeah. You know, and our people have been in this area for thousands of years. And a lot of the times I think our people are forgotten because, we're used to, there's quotes about concrete jungles, that are cities. And Santa Rosa is that, in a sense, where a lot of this land where there's houses and stores and different things, this all just used to be grass and trees and plants. Right. A lot of the times, like our basket materials and different Indian tea and medicine, that all grew by the water. So, you know, places you go like Spring Lake, or you go to Howard's Park, or Doyle Park, all these different parks that are around us, we see the play structures and things. But some of the trails that you still go on, you'll see traditional, medicine and tea, and it's around us still. It just, sometimes we gotta go back, track back a little bit to regain that.
Deepa, well, how much history is given to Indian kids as they're growing up? Is there a history of their place? Whether through family or if it's school or...
In all honesty, a lot of the times it's our own people that have to educate each other. I don't think even most colleges teach about tribal people from different places. Barely talked about in certain areas. And so a little bit of what I do in a personal way is I like to go to the schools and do what I call California Indian presentations, where I take different things that we might dance with or sing with, and I take photos and I do a PowerPoint with a little bit of our language. And for me, that's my way of kind of introducing my culture to the kids. There's a part of my presentation where I have 7 dialects of Pomo with one word from each dialect, and I teach it to the kids. And I teach them, the fact that they're practicing these new words. Well, that's 7 different languages, and that's languages that some of our elders still hold on to. But a lot of our people just are not able to speak it fluently anymore.
Right. But are people becoming aware of that and are learning it again, or is it still fading, or is there a resurgence in learning the language?
There's definitely different conferences and a few places have apps that have the language. But it's not always accessible for everyone, especially our elders that might not have had the chance to grow up with the language. They don't always have access to the internet or are not very good with social media and different things. So I think for the tribes that are doing that work, they're trying their best to make it for everybody. The California Indian Museum and Cultural Center over in the Larkfield area, they have a few different apps for Coast Miwok and different Pomo languages that, people can download on the phone or the tablet, and they can practice the language a little bit. And so those efforts, even though they might not seem large, because it's hard to develop these apps and do the recordings and the pictures for all of the languages.
Right.
Just a few, it's good exposure. And for the people that speak that language, it's a good way to get them started in regaining their traditional language. English wasn't from here. We were each given our own languages. And so now mostly our elders speak it. And for some of our tribes, unfortunately, those elders that hold the language pass on. Mm. You know, we say they travel home. And when that happens, sometimes our language and some of our ways that we might have did things in a traditional sense are gone. Because mm-hmm. a lot of us are so much in like the city life or maybe like a urban life that we forget to spend time with our elders. And that's really, to me, more beneficial than school, because our elders can teach us so much. But we have to, as young people, at least I can speak for myself, sometimes you got to put away your temptations to just sit and listen, because there is so much that our elders hold, but we kind of have to get over ourselves to be willing to sit and listen, yeah. because there's so much we could learn from them.
Well, that's it, isn't it? Yeah, giving the time. Mm-hmm. And that's it. It's not just language. It's the
Various
skills, mm-hmm. all those traditional skills that come with it.
Yeah.
They're built into the very nature of the surroundings, isn't it? You mm-hmm. know, the reeds in the laguna and things like that, all part of the culture.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's different things within our culture that only a select few people do in the traditional way, like making baskets or maybe the way that they make a certain tea, or they have certain areas that they just know about that the medicine grows in a good abundance, so they're able to, well, I know where to go, and then they can go and gather. Where if you're a young person who may not have had that growing up, but you know a few spots to pick, now that we're having more and more parks, sometimes they build the parks where that is. And unfortunately, at least I find myself in a place, being in Santa Rosa, going, you know, to places like Howard's Park and trying to gather. I'm being told I need a permit to gather traditional things. And I don't feel that anybody should have to go through that, because that medicine was there before that park.
Right.
And I feel somewhere down the line, when we start to bring more awareness in our community that there are some types of trainings, or there's not ways to get around it, but there's people that will be more understanding of why we're gathering those things.
Right.
Because not only are we gathering the medicine or the food or the tea for ceremony or for someone passing away, that also takes care of the plant, because we know the correct ways to cut it. Mm. And it's never about cutting too much. You know, there's certain ways that you cut that will make it grow better. Just different things like that.
Well, and holding the knowledge where they grow and mm-hmm. how and where, as you say, when. That's mm-hmm. Such a deep knowledge mm-hmm. to know that hopefully is getting passed down.
Yeah.
You know, that's the thing, isn't it? Mm-hmm. As you say, you can't just get that in a book. You can get some of it in a book, but mm-hmm. Not much more.
Yeah.
And, we were talking about skills. We can just jump quickly into it. One of those amazing skills is the basket weaving. Mm-hmm. I know that's something that's featured every year and is incredibly popular.
Yeah, this year we have Buffy Schmidt, who's Pomo, and she's going to be holding space at the Santa Rosa Central Library again. For people who are listening and still want to attend, it is sold out. And the only way people can come in is if they have the tickets. I think we filled those 18 slots in like an hour.
Wow.
And so for people who would like to participate next year, we are going to work a little harder on our funding part. So hopefully Buffy will have some time to maybe do 2 or 3 workshops next year. And maybe we could up it to maybe 20 people. So if people want to participate next year, they can email me at our Pomo Project email. That way they can get on our waiting list. And it's pomoprojectteam2019@gmail.com. No spaces in between. Also, if you look us up on Facebook or if you look at our website, which is pomoproject.org, you can see all of our updates, all of our events that we're doing. We post live videos at some of our events. We take lots of pictures and post them. And that's just another way to kind of share the information that we're trying to do, because I think I could speak on Christine and Buffy for this, is that the whole point of our events that we do is to raise awareness and to have people understand that our Pomo people have always been here.
That's right. Yeah.
And by having these different events and having them for free, we want all people to feel welcome because when we're taught these different skills, it's not just for us. You know, it's for everybody.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, part of the intention from the very beginning of the Pomo Project was about building bridges and educating people. So that's what we continue to do, and we hope to be doing it long into the future.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So other events, want to say anything about some of the other events?
Yeah, so on Sunday, this Sunday, October 3rd at noon, our Sonoma County Pomo dance group, led by Joselinas, will be dancing at the Sebastopol Plaza Gazebo at their annual farmers market. We put on our Facebook that the event would be from noon to 1 because the dance group dances about an hour. But a lot of our dancers, and I think all three of us from Pomo Project will be there at the event, so you can have a chance to talk to us a little bit, or if you have questions about events.
The current team is the three of us, Rose, myself, and Buffy, and we will all be there.
Now, one thing, it may be a little strange, but often at the beginning of events nowadays, often just regular events, people often will thank the local Indian tribes at events. And I'm wondering, how do you feel about it? Is that lip service, or is that, do you feel, is that okay? Do you have any sense of that?
Well, again, the Pomo Project, we knew that, again, starting in Sebastopol, we were on Coast Miwok and Southern Pomo land. Again, our goal is to educate and build bridges between cultures. I think that's a wonderful intention. I don't know that it's always effective. Rose, what do you think?
I think...
Does that have value, or...?
I think our whole goal, whether we're dancing or doing the basket weaving, is just to educate in the best way possible. There are times where, you know, we hold different events and we get, at least on my end, being Pomo, a lot of the times we get mixed up with other tribes and it's kind of, oh, well, I know, you know, Navajo people do this. Or a lot of the times I get questions about out-of-state tribes and how they do things. And I think it's good to be aware of all Indigenous people. But I, again, you know, like Christine said, we are on Coast Miwok and Southern Pomo people's land. And so we try to educate on that end the best that we can possible.
Right.
We don't know everything. And we definitely rely on our community. On the social media side, I'm always telling people to message us or email us or just let us know, because I post a lot of events that are going on. Like I said, again, Monday is Indigenous Peoples Day, and there's going to be tons, close to probably 20 or 30 events going on in Sonoma County area, all the way up out into the Bay Area of Oakland and San Francisco, doing their different events to celebrate Indigenous Peoples Day. And it's always important, I think, to just acknowledge what land you're on. For people like myself that are asked to do those, it's land acknowledgments. You're a cultural representative in a sense that is going and just reminding people whose land they're on and how we honor it in our way. And sometimes, you know, we'll open up with prayer, we'll open up with song, burning medicine, whatever feels appropriate and whatever the space will allow you.
Right.
I can't say it enough, is that we're always just trying to raise awareness in the best way possible.
Right.
And we just want people to know the truth about our culture, because it's here. You know, there's no room to make assumptions. We just, I myself, you know, I have my traditional face tattoo, and amongst that, you know, being a dancer and knowing a little bit of language and a little bit of basket weaving, I always encourage people to ask questions, because that's the best way that I feel people are going to learn. Sometimes it might feel, you know, uncomfortable or maybe unsure at the time, but that's always going to be the best way that you can learn, especially if you see our Pomo elders or our Coast Miwok elders at these different events, you know, go up and introduce yourself and let them know you're happy to see them. And,
right.
you know, we love our elders. You know, our elders are important to us. And I was raised not just by my parents, but all elders, my grandparents and on both sides and my aunts and uncles that raised me. I was always taught our elders are our teachers. You know, they can teach us the most, and that's our cultural bearers. They have so much to pass on, not just to us, but all people. And so events just can offer so much for people who haven't been to them yet.
Exactly. Now, obviously, there's traditional ways of doing things, but is there room and latitude to bring new things into the culture and, or enhancing what you have already?
I think for a person growing up a little more cultural, it's just our aim is to do everything the most traditional way possible. I know there's, you know, places at our mall in this area and different stores that sell medicine, and I personally don't believe in that. I feel that for us, we have the access, for the most part, to go and gather ourselves. And a lot of the times in the stores, it's sage. And there's a difference. There's California sage from this area, and there's sage that grows outside of California. And a lot of the times, the sage that are in these stores is outside of California. It burns differently. It feels different. It smells a little different. And so I think, just repeating myself a little bit, just it's always good for us to take that time to explain that to people and have them be aware. And always, you know, people always say to buy local, and I like to say buy indigenous,
right.
because there's a lot of indigenous people in our area that are artists, that are, you know, do beadwork, they do painting, they do different illustrations, they have their own gardens or their own businesses and different nonprofits and places like Crib and Skip and all these different places that we have around our California place. Is their whole goal, I feel, is the same, is to serve our people, but to also raise awareness and just teaching in a good way.
Well, let's make sure people know what Crib and Skip
are.
I can speak to Skip, Sonoma County Indian Health Project, because I volunteered there for a year and a half, and Crib Rose.
Yeah, Crib is the California Rural Indian Health Board, and so Skip, or Sonoma County Indian Health Projects, is here in Santa Rosa, in Sonoma County, and Crib, the California Rural Indian Health Board, is out in the Roseville, Sacramento area, but both very good institutions of serving their Indian people and just being a good resource.
Right.
As a non-native person and also an artist, one of the ways that I think is exciting for both maintaining and renewing the culture, but opportunities for new ways of expression, is through art. Mm. And so, for example, we have an art show that's up right now. It opened on October 1st. It's at the Steel Lane Community Center. And this may be the first time in Sonoma County. I'm not sure, but I think it's a very good chance, because there are over 10 Native artists represented in this show in one place. So if you can get to see this, it's really wonderful. There's, again, painters and basket weaving and jewelry and beadwork and different expressions of the culture, and it's exciting to see it all in one place. And the artists come from all the way from Marin County up into Lake County. So it's a wonderful representation, and it's hard to find venues for group shows, but I would love to be able to continue doing this again in the future, where more and more emerging Native artists' work can be seen and appreciated.
Very good point, Christine. Thank you. Certainly talking about kids and art. Or is there a coming-of-age process or celebrations for Indian kids, Pomo kids? Are they, is that still done, or is it just forgotten about in the cities, or how is that looked at?
It's hard to say what, because certain tribes and certain families practice different practices. Some families still practice those celebrations of life. where they become a young woman or become a young man, and there's some that we don't celebrate as much. I can't say what tribes do and don't celebrate. Again, that would be an opportunity to sit with elders or sit with people from those different tribes and ask them. I can speak on my own tribes, which is the Round Valley Indian Reservation in Covelo and the Big Valley Rancheria of Band of Pomo Indians over in Lake County. And for us, you know, we have a lot of young people that, you know, in my heart are very powerful young people. And so they participate in ceremony and they attend different dances. They attend conferences and other things when given the opportunity. And both of these are reservations that are very remote and not necessarily like Santa Rosa where it's right. in town.
Right.
It's a good opportunity just to talk to those different tribes again. I'm not aware because I wasn't involved in my culture as a very young person. I didn't really get involved till I was about 11 or 12. So closer to preteen time. But being a young woman now, I've had the opportunity to sit with a lot of elders and learn a lot of things, you know.
Still there. The knowledge is still there.
Definitely.
And wanting to be passed down.
Mm-hmm.
But are there young people willing to listen?
Again, it depends on the person. Some of us are raised, you know, by our elders still, because that's such a traditional way of growing up. It takes a village to raise a child. We have aunts and uncles, grandparents, and when we have close relatives, you know, their grandparents become our grandparents. Mm. Their parents are our parents. Their aunts and uncles are our aunts and uncles. So right. we are one big village. We are one big family, and we help raise each other, and we help teach each other how to be respectful and how to talk in a good way and how to be in a good way. And there's a term that we talk about a lot. A lot of Native people and Indigenous people that go through recovery that say to walk in a good way, to walk our life in, clean and sober, you know, from drugs and alcohol and different things. And that's because that's how our elders lived. You know, they didn't have that influence of drugs and alcohol.
Right.
There are some that had to go through that, and there's some of our community that still struggle with that, but we do our best to teach our young ones that there's so much that they can do in their lives, and that the biggest way that they can do that is take advantage of good opportunities that come to them, you know, sitting with elders, traveling to ceremony, traveling to conferences,
right.
You know, having opportunities to go and meet other young Native people like themselves from other areas, and that all keeps us out of trouble and right. helps us walk in a good way. Myself, I work with Native youth, and I'm kind of an auntie to a lot of kids and young people in my community, and that's something I always try to do is just walk in a good way, be a good way, right. and talk in a good way.
There's a lot of problems with youth. The opioid mm-hmm. epidemic, I know, has affected the culture quite a bit. Can mm-hmm. you tell us about that? What the impacts are and what is happening mm-hmm. on that?
I can't speak on a medical side of it,
sure.
but from what I've noticed working with both our elders and both our young people is a lot of the times when it's a, you know, I have a headache or I have joint problems, or a lot of our youth go through a personal struggle and have to deal with depression and different things like that. These big companies, their first thing is to give pills. It's never to offer therapy. It's never to offer, you know, a talking circle or counseling and different things. And a lot of these different elements prevent us from going through depression or not being active in our lives. And so I don't even know if there's a word to say, just a humbling opportunity to be a part of a committee with CRIB called the Tribal Opioid Advisory Committee, TOAC. And we've had just a few meetings so far, but a big goal of our committee is to help implement different curriculum and teachings into our different Indian health projects from different communities in California. Huh. I'm not sure if there's a few that might be outside of California. If it didn't happen now, it's going to happen later on.
Right.
And our whole goal is to not make it where our young people and our elders are turning to, you know, drugs and alcohol abuse. And there's so many different services that we can provide for our community to keep them off of pills.
Right.
For example, some of the ideas that we have for our elders, at least, is if we have elders who might be experiencing joint pain or are going through some memory loss, it's easy to do like a small like yoga class even just offering cooking classes, offering traditional walks where the elders just go and talk about the plants that are in the area. Same thing for the youth, having an opportunity for them to walk with the elders or maybe have a traditional cooking class with the elders, making traditional tea or maybe talking about traditional medicines and different ways that we can kind of help everyone at the same time,
right,
but make it more about our culture, you know, going back to our culture. Because again, just like the drugs and the alcohol, pills aren't traditional.
Right.
Pills didn't just pop up out of the ground. Trying to go back and also just, you know, developing surveys and different items that will help us ask our community, how can we serve that specific community? Because although many of our Indian communities have to deal with the opioid crisis that's right, going on, some of our communities suffer more than others. So it's important that we have, you know, a solid survey or maybe just some solid questions that we can go and talk to the elders or the young people or the adults in the place that we're visiting and really get a sense of what is that tribe's or that community's specific needs. And, you know, as a team, kind of come back and collaborate and see, well, how can we help our people be healthy? And how can we help them not only thrive, but survive?
Mm.
You know, there's so many things besides the opioid crisis that our Indian communities have to deal with, right, and have to live with. And so that among one of the problems, that's one of the ways that we're trying to tackle that a little bit.
Yeah, everyone's got to help everyone, basically, isn't mm-hmm. it? And, again, with the elders, that's such a big thing, isn't it? That continuity
yeah.
and the passing down of information.
Mm-hmm.
Are, per se, the elders aware of that? Are they coming back to that? Did they lose it? And are they coming back to it now and imparting that knowledge? Or how is that being accepted amongst the elders?
Mm-hmm.
Do they accept being an elder?
Well, again, it kind of goes back to, it depends on that person. You know, some elders, they have been dubbed as an elder from a young age.
Mm.
I have some of my elders that consider me an elder because of my teachings and my work I do with young people, where, you know, there's some elders that may be, you know, 60s, 70s, 80s and over that they themselves might not feel like an elder, but they might, you know, have traditional stories or they have, you know, certain traditional teachings that they hold and would like to teach. And so I think finding a space where we can talk to them and see if not wanting to contribute as an elder, just like being a community member.
Right.
And a lot of the times organizing in the Pomo Project, I make side notes if we have people lined up for our elders forum that we do every year since the last couple years now, which is led by Mola Malike, who's a Pomo elder.
Right.
And again, making space for our elders to share stories. So just as a side note, we are having our elders forum this year called Living in Two Worlds. So talking about how we have to live in this society in this modern time, but the other world we live in is our ceremonial world, you know, mm-hmm. where we're at ceremony and we're making that sacrifice. And for some of us, ceremony is 3 or 4 days, you know, it's not just a day and it's not just 2 or 3 hours. Sometimes our ceremonies are 12 to 15 hours and more.
Wow.
You know, but for us, we're not keeping track. We just know once it's ceremony, it's ceremony time, and we have different things that we need to take care of. And so we want to give some of our elders an opportunity to just educate our, not just our Native community, but the whole community about it is a struggle that a lot of our ceremony people have to deal with. I myself deal with it when I come back home Sunday night from ceremony, and Monday I have to wake up, go to school, go to work, do stuff for a Pomo project, be a part of my other projects that I'm doing, and then I get home and it's like culture shock, you know, because when we're in ceremony, that's such a spiritual time. And when we have to come back to this world, it's kind of like we feel separated.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard to make that transition back. And so that's kind of our theme for this year with the Elders Forum. And that's going to be on Saturday, October 26th from 2 to 5 p.m. And we're able to use some space over at the CIMCC, which is the California Indian Museum and Cultural Center. And you can look them up. They do a lot of really good work. They have a gift shop, and they have the National Indian Justice Center as a part of their location. And I was a youth ambassador with them for many years. I did GIS, where we did a lot of work with different tribes, and I was one of the people that helped contribute in making the language apps. And so I was able to help be a part of that, too.
Right.
And, you know, as a young person, and now a lot of us that did that as youth, now we're young adults and we're involved in all these other projects to help, again, better our community and bring awareness.
Right. It is continuing. That's the thing, isn't it?
It's always continuing.
Keep putting it back. Obviously, to keep a community healthy and fresh, you know, we all have to work and things. How is the whole work thing in the Indian culture in terms of the opportunities to stay locally to where your tribe is? Is that possible? Is it getting very hard because of obviously the fires and the floods and everything has made this area very difficult to live in?
I think it depends on what area. For the past few years, maybe about the past 5 or 6 years, our Lake County area has been hit by a lot of different fires in different locations.
Right.
Places like Kelseyville had fires, and the fires that was near the Twin Pines Casino, the tribal people in that area. We had our fire that almost burnt down one of our ceremonial houses in Lake County in Big Valley. Oh. And so fires do touch home, but our people stayed, and our ceremonial house is still there, and all these sacred places are still thriving. Some areas here in Santa Rosa were affected, where some patches of medicine and different areas where we could collect basket materials had burnt, and some of those areas have grown back and some haven't. Again, I think it's just making our people at the parks aware, and also, at least in this, you know, more modern place here in the city, I feel like it's not as easy. You know, rent is so high. You know, housing is another struggle our Indian community and a lot of people in our community have to deal with. On the reservation is different from living here because a lot of the families have homes up there that belong to the families, and the way that they deal with rent is a little bit different. And here, you know, you either rent or you buy your home. It's different.
Yeah.
You know, in that sense, it is two different worlds also. But again, we have many struggles. So
right.
Housing is one, trying to transition ourselves from ceremony into kind of like our modern world and our modern life is a struggle. You know, cultural appropriation and mascots and different things are all different struggles that we have to deal with. But as a community, we help each other pick up those missing and falling pieces to just be as strong as a community and bring awareness together.
Right. Well, that's it, isn't it? Keep it, as you say, 10 years, Christine, you've been doing it now. So now for the next 10 years, where do you see it going? What type of things do you see changing and adding and morphing to?
Well, that's an excellent question. I think some things we will try to continue from year to year because there seems to be a tremendous amount of interest in them. For example, the basket weaving workshop, we'll do that as long as we can find venues and have the money to pay for supplies. And so we hope to continue that. The Elders Forum is a fairly new thing that we added. We talked about it for years, but we didn't have a place until recently where we felt the elders would be comfortable to talk about their lives and to share stories. And once we coordinated with the CAMCC, we felt like we have a home there for this. Mm-hmm. So we hope to develop that relationship and continue that relationship and continue the Elders Forum. Now, the dancers have been a tradition for 10 years in Sebastopol. I absolutely am committed to keeping bringing the dancers every year as long as we possibly can. And so it really depends. And we like to bring in some new things when we can. For example, Rose has also been active with the Murdered and Missing Indigenous Women's Movement. Mm-hmm. It's also something I have been involved with tangentially. And so we hope next year to bring some speakers to discuss that. So that's a new thing we hope to develop. Mm-hmm. So we're always looking at what we can sustain and what we can also bring that's new.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. No, some interesting things. I mean, it's been part of your life, Rose, mm-hmm. for a long time, most of your life.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I've grown up with the Pomo Project and just being involved in different ways. Different things like Pomo Project, whether it's an organization or just a collective or a group of people, it's always good for our younger generation to step up and do their best to contribute or help.
Right.
And so I think another thing next year that, again, depending on funding, it might be neat to somewhere down the line offer like a small scholarship to support some of our Native people in the community. Mm-hmm. Now, nothing crazy, no $1,000 scholarships or nothing, but, you know, $50 to $100 for a youth that just stands out in our community as a leader or as an artist themselves. And so,
yeah, a bit of encouragement always goes definitely. A long way, doesn't it?
And just reaffirming them that as Indigenous people, our ancestors went through so much for us to be here, and us just being here alive, that's success and that's doing good. When our young people do good things in the community and succeed way far beyond what any of us could have thought of, then that's like, that just reaffirms us that we're doing our best to make sure our next generation is carrying on in a good way and that they're going to become our leaders and they're going to be teaching all of their young people that are in their community.
Right. Mm-hmm. Can people learn, or are there classes, or, you know, even if you're not an Indian, are there ways for people to learn about the culture at all in local colleges or anything like that? Is there anything like that? Or
there are certain Native clubs on campuses. There is a Native club at the Santa Rosa Junior College, Santa Rosa campus. I'm not sure if there is a group over at the Petaluma campus. People that are local to this area can look at, you know, San Francisco State University has a great group of Native people and non-Native people in their collective. There's people over at Stanford University that hold the big Stanford powwow every year. Oh, yeah. There's people out at Sacramento State University that also, you know, have Native and non-Native students in a collective doing good things for their Native students on campus. So there are clubs that support each other, but I have yet to see any classes that focus on our tribal groups from these places.
Right. One day, it would be nice, wouldn't it?
Hopefully
it
soon.
It was built into the curriculum of high schools and things.
Definitely.
It would be lovely. Mm-hmm. To get that connection. So, well, it's coming up to the top of the hour, so let's go over what's coming up. from the next events on the Pomo?
Well, again, the art show is ongoing. It opened October 1st, and that'll continue through mid-November, Steel Lane Community Center. The dancers will be at the Sebastopol Square again this Sunday, the 13th, from 12 to 1. And the basket weaving workshop is on the 20th, but unfortunately, it is full. The Elders Forum is on Saturday, the 26th, and the room that we have there can hold quite a number of people. And again, open and free to the public. Please come and join us. Did I leave anything out, Rose?
Like us on Facebook.
Yeah, oh yes.
Share your pictures with us and just... As a young person, you know, social media, we have to use it to the best of our ability. So if we can have the opportunity to maybe video Buffy weaving a little bit or just posting photos and just those little things that we're able to do helps us raise awareness. And when people on our social media side of our community is able to share the pictures or, you know, they might be a part of other tribal groups or websites, you know, just sharing those photos and just sharing the information and the knowledge and always letting our community know that we're here and we're a resource for people.
And of course, the generosity of Cows Radio, who every year for a very long time has been supporting us for this hour. So we really appreciate that.
Oh, really enjoy doing it. It's very important. We've got to know where we come from. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much for coming in, Rose Hammack and Christine Kobay. And,
my pleasure.
We'll do it again next year. And please, everyone, go to the dancing at noon at the Sebastopol Farmers Market coming right up this weekend. It is incredible. So, let's go out with a bit of, maybe it will rain soon, a bit of rain song from Robert Mirabelle.